Join me in Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. Again, just acknowledge the work of the Holy Spirit with given what has gone on in our country over the last week and the unrest and hatred. We are brought to a passage that speaks of peace and the true nature of peace. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, hear the inerrant, inspired word of our God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Back in 1969, in those tumultuous times of the 60s, John Lennon of the Beatles wrote a song entitled Give Peace a Chance. Those of you who are Beatles fans probably remember it well. But that song became the anthem of the American anti-war movement of the late 60s and early 70s, more particularly. And then after the release of that song, the phrase that was repeated by many who were following that path was, just give peace a chance. It became the battle cry of many for those in the middle, early 70s. However, the search for peace did not begin with John Lennon and Yoko Ono in 1969 and them sitting in the bed singing that song. It has been ever since the fall of Adam and Eve and their removal from the garden, and the loss of an intimate relationship with God, that mankind has tirelessly and endlessly searched for peace within their souls. And because of that now sinful, confused state left to us after Adam's sin, mankind has often more than not looked in all the wrong places for peace. One author states, people spend a lifetime searching for happiness, looking for peace. They choose idle dreams. They chase after their addictions, religions, even other people, hoping to fill the emptiness that plagues them. The irony is, the only place they ever needed to search was within. Now, let me say quickly that this author is correct and incorrect at the same time. This author is right in saying that people chase idle dreams and chase addictions and chase religions, even chasing other people, searching for that thing to bring peace within oneself. But this author is also incorrect, because according to Holy Scriptures, his statement, the irony is the only place they'll ever find peace is within, it's absolutely wrong. Peace cannot, nor will it ever be, found within ourselves. But the sad thing is that there are many, 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 many prominent people around this globe who have expressed the same sentiments of finding peace within oneself. Some prominent leaders, such as the Dalai Lama, which many follow, says, we can never obtain peace in the outer world until we make peace within ourselves. Another prominent religious icon, Buddha, states clearly that peace comes from within. Do not search for it outside yourself. Even the great Elie Wiesel, Holocaust victim who recently passed away, was seemingly misguided when he said, mankind must remember that peace is not God's gift to his creatures, but peace is the gift we give to each other. But I must ask the question, How can I give you something I do not have? How can you share with another a peacefulness derived from inside that you absolutely do not have? Peace, true peace, cannot come from a being that is not at peace within themselves or within his or her existence. Because within ourselves, is it not turmoil? Isn't it within ourselves searching for that peacefulness? Peace only comes from one place. And peace must come from that outside place, person. And it is through God Himself. And it is only God who can bring that lasting peace. C.S. Lewis affirms that when he says, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself because it is not there. Peace outside of God does not exist. Thomas Merton, a prominent Catholic writer of our, a couple of years back, says, we are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God. Oh, I wish the world today could come to grips with that. Here in our text today, Paul tells us very clearly the origin of peace. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are here today, I pray most of you are, all of you are believers in Jesus Christ, then you have that most prized possession that the rest of the world is searching for and will never find. A peace that comes through Jesus Christ. And as I said, this is the position of the believer in Jesus Christ. And this is the message of the gospel. A peace that transcends all understanding. A peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. Acts 10, He, God, has sent this message to the people of Israel, proclaiming the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Paul writes that through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through the blood of His cross. And then these most beautiful words that the disciples heard from Jesus Christ Himself. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So where do we search for peace? Where is our world searching for peace? In all the wrong places. So I encourage you, I implore you, do not fall for Satan's lies, saying that if you accomplish this, this will bring peace. If you get to know this, this will bring peace. If you achieve this, then there will be peacefulness in my heart. No, no, and no. It is only through Jesus Christ. And what are the benefits of the believer who has gained this peacefulness in spirit? Look with me at verse 2. It said, through Him, through Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Two things, grace and hope. First of all, grace. Now, we are accustomed to defining grace as that unmerited, undeserved favor of God that brings us to the point of salvation. Here in Paul's mind, he is speaking of a larger context, a broader realm of grace. He says, into this grace in which we stand. Paul is talking about into this grace-filled life of which we have our being, have our existence, that we have a constancy before God. Yes, grace came into our hearts and faith was given to us as that gift and we become those redeemed individuals. But as we live our lives daily, we are standing in that existence of grace. We don't need grace alone for salvation. We don't need grace only in the saving of our lives, but we need grace every day. And Paul says, this is what we have. This is our existence. This is our state of being in the grace of God. That should bring peacefulness to your heart. Secondly is hope. There's many psychologists and sociologists who will say that if you want to destroy a person, remove their hope. Remove the hope, and you will destroy them. Here, Paul says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is speaking to eternity. This is speaking to the place of being with God. But it arcs back to the very beginning of creation. Because when did we lose our hope? When did we lose our peacefulness? When the glory of God was taken away from Adam and Eve. And so here, the peacefulness that we gain as individuals, as believers, is that hope of the glory being restored. What will be your first response? What will be your first action? What will be your first thought when that moment you appear before Jesus Christ? A song many years ago, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I don't know that I can really imagine, because it will be so overwhelming. Now, let me clear up one thing here, because we in our vernacular, in our language, we use this word hope. But there is a desire for hope, but in our language, there's not a real certainty. We might say, I hope it doesn't rain today. Well, that's a real desire, that I hope it doesn't rain if I have an outing planned. But there is no certainty, especially when it comes to rain. But here in Holy Text, when we're speaking of hope, please do not use it as that less than certain word. Because a hope in Jesus Christ is the certainty of a hope in the glory of God. The certainty of a future realization for God's people. The certainty that we will bask in God's glory again as Adam and Eve did in the garden. The certainty that we will walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ through the hours of, well, I can't really use a time thing. Through the existence of our days. See, there's another time thing. Our existence with God. That's so hard to do. There is certainty. Because Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 6, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That hope and the glory of God should cause such a peacefulness to come over our lives. Should cause such a peacefulness to come over the agonizing things that we might go through in our day. The believer's hope is grounded in the certainty of the hope of Christ. However, as everyone in this room can attest, we still have to live this life. Paul goes on to talk to us about the struggles of this life. And I find it very, very appealing and very teaching that while he is talking about a peacefulness of life and a peacefulness of existence, he also goes in and starts speaking about our suffering. Because you see, today there are those who will teach a peacefulness of life means the lack of conflict. That the peacefulness of life means the lack of any pain. That the peacefulness that this world is searching for is that everybody just get along. That's not what Paul is teaching us here. Look with me at verse 3. Not only that, rejoicing in the hope of glory, but not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Really, Paul? Really? Could he not say that I have to withstand my sufferings? Could he not say that I could just be sustained in my sufferings? But no, he says, rejoice. Why does he tell us? Why is the Holy Spirit telling us to rejoice? Because in Holy Text, there is a deep rationale, an explanation behind suffering. Because it is the way of Christ. It is the way of salvation. It is the way our Lord took. And to be Christ-like and have the peacefulness in our hearts, we must take that same path. We must be on that same journey. Let me ask you a question. Are you a better student in the days when everything is going well? Or are you a better student when things aren't going right and there's pain associated with this and you're wanting to learn how to withstand and have the courage and have the stamina, the Christ-likeness through those agonizing times? We're better students in the suffering. We're better students under God's discipline. Your children, you have their attention during times of discipline. I pray you do. And see, here in Romans chapter 8, I'll go over here just quickly and read verses 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. But here's the catch. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. The Bible teaches humiliation, exaltation. We go through the suffering and the pain, and then we will be exalted. We go through the sufferings just like Christ did, and one day we will have our glory before God. But here on this earth, as Paul continues here in chapter 5, he says, not only this, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. See, there's a path of maturing given to us here. That true peace comes in that maturing. How can we rejoice when we're ailing? How can we rejoice when the illness has taken over? Our dear brother Greer Hobbs had major surgery Friday morning, basically all day Friday. And he says, I'm okay. This is what God has for me. I've heard many of you say the same thing. How is that possible? That the believer can say at a time when a loved one has passed away, it's okay. How can we say at a time that a child goes and we can kneel in the field and praise God? How can we, when life tosses us a curve and takes away the one thing that is such a joy, the peacefulness of God that transcends all understanding? Because you see, as the Scriptures teach us, this is the path of Christ. This is the path of Christ. And we rejoice in our sufferings. What a glorious feeling it is when the Christian witnesses the upholding arms of God through these times, and that experience of the true presence of God builds a hope within a person, and that hope does not disappoint. It does not put us to shame, but that hope keeps us buoyed. That hope keeps us standing, that Jesus Christ's words are true. I will be with you always. Always. But see, there's more. There's more. Verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We sang the Holy Spirit. Dawn sent me an email and said, I'd like to sing Holy Spirit. I hadn't even thought about connecting that song with the text, but it's connected beautifully. Thank you, Dawn. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. Why? Because God's love has been poured out. And all of this builds hope. All of this builds character. And this does not put us to shame. Now, let me back up and connect the dots here. Being justified before God, we have a peace through Jesus Christ. And that peaceful spirit within us rejoices. And as we are matured into the Christ-like character, feeling the presence of God, an undying hope is created. And that hope does not disappoint because it is given to you through the love of God. Do you have a peacefulness in your spirit? Life is hard. Doesn't go like we want it to. But is there still just that peacefulness? That I trust God. Jerry Bridges writes, it's easy to trust God when the sun is shining. It's easy to trust God when you pray for something and it's resolved. It's easy to trust God when you see Him working so wonderfully. But do you also trust God in those times when you've prayed and the answer just does not come? You've prayed for this resolution and the answer just does not come as you should see it. Do you still trust God in those times? If you do, that's that peacefulness. That's that peacefulness of spirit. I entitled the sermon, A Peace That Brings Hope. And as much as I would love to go to the people of our nation today and say, folks, you're looking in all the wrong places. You're blaming all the wrong people. You're taking things into your hand for all the wrong reasons. If you want there to be a peacefulness in this land, A, that peacefulness can be here, but because we are in this land and not in eternity, there's always going to be the sinfulness of struggles and strife. People pray for the peace of Israel. I'd ask you to change that prayer, please. Pray for the salvation of Israel, because that's the only true peace that comes. It cannot be found inside yourself, because you are at war with God until God redeems. That peace is what brings hope. Amen and amen.